Appreciate the Lord for another opportunity to be back at your way of listening. I'm thankful that His mercy renews every morning and His compassions never fail. I'm always thankful for Him waking me up every day, for having good health, for having a family and food on my table, shoes on my feet, a roof over my head, transportation, all the blessings of life, everything that He gives me. I'm sure I'm thankful, but most of all, I'm thankful that He saved my soul. That's the most important thing in your life, is being saved. And that's what He did for me over 6 years ago. I'm so thankful that He got alive in me. I was 20 years old when He saved me. I understood what it meant to be saved at 13 years old. And I wasted a lot of time in my life trying to run after something to satisfy me, to make me happy, to, you know, give me a peace or something to help me get through life and troubles and all things that you go through in life. I tried to find it in all the wrong things, even knowing better, even going to church all my life since I was a little baby. I've always been there and heard the real Word of God being preached with power, with the Holy Ghost in the service every time. I knew it was true because I could feel the love coming from the pastor. I knew it was real. I could feel it in my heart. But yet the devil was stronger than me. He's stronger than you and all of us put together. He's stronger than all of us. But only one that's stronger is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He's the one that had to die at the cross of Calvary. Right on that cross, He died. He shed His blood. He gave His life. Nobody took it from Him. He gave it. He could have called 10,000 angels, thousands and thousands of angels. But yet, He knew what He had to do. He had to cross every T and dot every I of the Scripture. He fulfilled everything that was written about Him. Everything that was said and done by the prophets of old and the preachers, He completed it. Perfect. He was perfect from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. He's altogether lovely. Thank God one day after a while, we're about dying in my sins and going to hell. I'll be able to see Him face to face and know Him just and be just like Him. Just to have the body just like Him and be called up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm thankful to be saved today, to have the true peace that I look for so long. You might be looking for it in the alcohol. You might be looking for it in the drugs. You might be looking for it in sex and famous and money and riches. Anything that you can think of, you might be able to be looking for that, you know, and making you trying to satisfy the longing that's inside your heart. I know you have one, because we all do. That's there for a reason, that you may have something there in place of that longingness, that loneliness, and that emptiness on the inside. And that gift has already been shed at Calvary. That gift is free. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. It's something you receive. It's not something you work for. The gift is not something you work for. Most gifts that you get nowadays, you either you don't know you're getting it, or it's during a special time as Christmas or happy birthday or anything like that. But this gift, Jesus died for the entire world. It's not, if it was by works, then Jesus would not have died. He would have died a vain death. He would never had to leave heaven, you see. It's not by works, because if it was, the law that came when Moses was there, you see, it would have been enough. It would have already been enough. And we would all be, you know, trying to live by the law and be saved and going to heaven. But see, Jesus saw, you know, something that wasn't, you know, fully persuaded and fully there. And that Holy Spirit is what I'm talking about on the inside. Jesus saw it. It was missing something. So He had to leave heaven. He knew His destiny. He knew everything that He was going to have to go through. All the anguish, all the pain, the beatings that he would go through. He knew everything, but love compelled Him to go. He didn't look down and say, how precious and how wonderful are these down here. Look how good they're doing. They deserve a gift. They deserve, you know, me to die on the cross of Calvary. That's not what He said. He said, may God have mercy. Look how pitiful they are. Look how pathetic they are. They need help. They need me. They need the Savior of all mankind. He died for the man, boy, woman, and girl, everybody, denomination, color, your race, your tongue, it doesn't matter what you are, who you are, God died for you. And that's wonderful comfort inside my heart, knowing that Jesus died for the entire world. I'm thankful to be a part of this salvation. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to get baptized in the water. I didn't have to turn over a new leaf. I didn't have to give my money to the homeless or the alms of the church and help here and help there. All that is just, it's good and dandy. You know, you can get baptized in the water, but none of that has to do anything with salvation is concerned. Nothing to do with salvation is being baptized in the water or anything, trying to do good works and giving your money. All that is, you know, good, but that's not anything essential to salvation. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand that at first until Jesus explained it. He said, you've already been born of water. You know, it's not possible for you to enter that womb again, but you must be born to the Spirit. You've already had that water birth. That's not talking about baptism of the water. That's talking about the water birth, you see, the birth of the woman. You know, you come forth from the woman, you see. It's very simple. Most people try to complicate that and say, oh, no, that's talking about, you know, baptism of the water or things like that, but they didn't read any further because it clearly stated about being baptized in that Spirit, that Holy Spirit of God, being called upon God with your broken heart and contrite spirit. It's in the Bible. You just got to go back and read it and study it and look it over real very, very close and see what you're missing on the inside. Because if you're being convicted in this service, in this sermon right now, then evidently you're missing something on the inside. You're missing, you know, the Holy Spirit, that peace and joy that you're looking for. You're still troubled. You're still in anguish. You're still, you know, depressed when you get home. Maybe you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and you feel a little something. You got a little emotional experience, but when you go home, you feel the same way that you did when you went to church, you see, maybe even worse, because you don't quite understand why you feel that emptiness on the inside, that lack of peace, that lack of joy, no happiness, no satisfaction on the inside. What you're missing is the Holy Spirit. You can't get it in those, you know, those huge mega churches. That most of those are just dead, and there really ain't a preacher preaching God's word behind the pulpit. All they care about is patting their back pocket full of your money, you know, getting all your checks and getting the alms from the church and putting in their back pocket, buying private jets and helicopters and going on vacations and going here and going there. It's a pitiful excuse of so-called preachers. They're not really Christians to start off with. You got to be saved and born again. You got to call out upon God, a time in your life where you really called out upon Him for mercy and forgiveness. Not that sin caught up with you, not that you have consequences, not that you went to jail or anything like that. I'm talking about really, really being sorry that you sinned against God, that you sinned against the Almighty God, the one that sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't have to send His Son, nor did Jesus have to leave heaven, but He's seen our need. He saw what we stood in need of, and He saw us going straight to hell, but He died for us because His love compelled Him to go. Thank God it's not by works, lest any man should boast. If it was, you know, men, you know, we are prideful. This is in this flesh, being prideful of what we do, whether it's work, whether it's any good thing, good alm or good deed that we do throughout the day, we might have a little pride that rises up. Look what I did. You know, look at the good thing that I did for that person. Look at the money that I gave. Look at all that treasures that I've obtained, and here and there, this, that, and the other. But see, if it was by works, we could boast on that. But see, Jesus died. God gave the gift. He did it so we could have life and have it more abundantly. That peace that you're so desperately looking for, that's all that you stand in need of today. If you're being convicted, you're kind of getting antsy, you're kind of getting a little bit wiggly, don't turn the radio off. This is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Call out upon God with all of your heart. Be sorry, be remorse, repent of all your sins. The Bible said if you don't repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus Himself said that very plainly. He said, do you suppose that these Galileans that were there were more sinners than the rest of them, or the people that had that tower fall upon them? He said, do you suppose that all these were sinners above everybody else because this happened to them, or people that are born blind or born lame or different things like that? He said, do you suppose that they're sinners above other people? He said, no, but the works of God may be manifested in them. You see, everything happens for a reason. Some people are shorter. Some people are taller. Some people have more love in their hearts. Some people are more mean and different things like that. You see, God can bless you in all kinds of different ways. He uses everybody that He creates, and anybody that calls upon Him with that broken heart and contrite spirit and really gets born again and saved, He can use that, and He will only use a soldier that He can trust. If you're a Christian today and you understand what I'm talking about, you really have this born-again experience, this peace that I'm talking about on the inside, then it's time to get with it. It's time to start doing your praying again. Start doing your studying. Come back to Bethel and renew your vows. Call out upon God, not as if you're getting saved again, because when you get really born again and saved, when you really call out upon God, it's a one-time salvation. This is not an again and again and again salvation. He don't have any blueprints or 30, 60, 90-day plans where it just ends and you have to go redo it again like the priest did. Back in the days of old, they went to the, you know, to that place and they offered up, you know, those sacrifices for the sins of the people, and then once a year for themselves. You see, they did that back in the day, but when Jesus died, all we have to do is pray and call upon him with everything that we got. Be determined enough to really call out upon him and give your whole life to him. Be willing to even die for the Lord. You see, when I prayed, I was determined that day. I was tired of living that way. I was tired of feeling trouble on the inside, and I was praying all with all of my heart, on the knees of my heart, calling and begging for mercy that I wouldn't die in my sins and go to hell. I was begging for mercy, and that's when God heard my call. He heard my cry. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard my cry and delivered me out of all my troubles. But I prayed, if it means dying right now. When I was praying that prayer, I said, Lord, if it means dying right now in a car crash, or you just taking me on to heaven, that's what it means to me. I'm just tired of living this way, tired of feeling this way. Can you just take me on to heaven? And I prayed like that, and I'm still here today. God didn't take me on, but he did save me. I know he did, because I can feel it on the inside of my soul, the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside me. Thank God for the peace of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. There's absolutely, positively nothing in this world that will ever compare to the love of God. His Holy Spirit that he sent back, he said he would send back the Comforter that would be with us even unto the end of the world. The Bible also says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. My sheep have eternal life, and no man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. Those are scriptures that you can go back and read about eternal life. When God really gives it, when you really call out upon God, God gives it. He don't give it by measure. He don't give it halfway. When he saves you, he saves your soul completely. He takes that old heart of stone out and puts in a heart of flesh that you can love him with, that you can love the Bible with, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the blessed book, and the brethren. All that you can, that God gives you, is that love. That's the main ingredient in his salvation, is that love that you can have for not only yourself, you know, your family, and for the Lord, but other people that you come in contact with, souls, and people you work with, people at the stores, and all the rest of your relatives and your family, you people you go to school with if you're still young. You see, God, you can be used in a mighty way to help win the lost, because there's so many people going to hell today. Hell is real. It's a place of eternal torment and damnation, and the fire will never be quenched. It will never go out. God have mercy upon our country, all that we're going through, the people we have in office. May God help us today. May God have mercy upon our country and all the souls. May God extend his mercy to us all and give us more time to win precious souls before it's everlasting too late. I'm just thankful that I can call him my personal Savior. Thank God in the valley. He is that lily of the valley. He's that bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's everything to me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus right on my heart. Everywhere I love to tell the story of Jesus. I just can't help it, because it's a fire that's shut up in my bones. I can't help but preach God's word. Whatever God gives me, that's exactly what I want to preach. And the Bible said, don't premeditate. Don't write down what you have to worry about, or what you have to speak on, or what you have to preach on. That God will give it in that very hour. He will give it in that very instant. And I preach by faith. Every time I'm on this radio, I preach by faith. I have the best example that I could ever ask for at my church, the pastor, Brother Gerald Reed. I'm thankful for him. He's been stood in the gap and made up the hedge. He's done all he could to stand, and thank God, God has blessed him for it. He's been through many trials. He's had his wife die in a car wreck. He had, you know, a heart attack and a stroke. He's had different ailments in the flesh, and God, he's been having faith in God that God didn't make any mistakes. And thank God, God's still using them today, and God's going to let the power of God fall upon him and give him that double portion, just like Job. And I'm thankful for what God's going to do for me and my church. I'm just thankful to be saved today. This is a real salvation. This is not something that I made up or hummed up in a story or a fairy tale. This is inside my heart. This is dwelling on the inside. It's a fire burning in my bones, and I'm thankful to be part of the salvation. I want you to be a part of the salvation, sinner friend. Don't let another day go by. Don't let the devil take away the word of God that you heard today. But I see my time's about gone. Do some praying today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.